broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web. You're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Dr. Donna Marks, author of Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, and One Solution. And I know that that word addiction is something that people don't like. In fact, a lot of people just click off when they hear that word. But unfortunately, it's our most severe global crisis. More people are affected health-wise, mentally, and even death from addiction than any other disorder. I talk about that in one of my other shows and how it's at the root of most physical and mental illnesses and divorce, dysfunctional family, fatal car accidents, and all other kinds of things. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. Today I'm going to talk about how many people are affected, how it affects the workforce, and then later on I'm going to have a special guest. He's very special because he's my husband, and he's an attorney who specializes in ethics law. And he's going to be talking about how substance abuse and addiction in general affects attorneys and how they can lose their license and even suffer worse consequences. So right now, though, I'm just going to talk about addiction. And it's really important. As someone myself who's in recovery, I know how hard it is to face it. I know how hard it is to break through. It's kind of like you're in a cloud, like in a tornado. And you're in the middle of the tornado, so it feels kind of safe. And the thought of getting out of that storm and going through all of that wind and turbulence is just very unappealing. And there's a part of the mind that says, no, just stay put, stay where you are. You really don't have a problem. You've been doing this for so long. You won't be able to stop. And if you do, you'll be miserable. That's the favorite voice of addiction. You know, you won't be happy if you stop smoking, drinking, porn, or whatever the case may be. But I want you to know that you're not alone. And it is easy to stop once you decide to do it. And it's easy to stay stopped if you know how to stay stopped. You can leave it like any other bad relationship. You can just break up with it and say, why did I ever do that all those years? What was I thinking? And then once you get yourself back and you're re-engaged in your life and your brain has no longer been hijacked, you will be so happy that you got free and you're out of the maze of addiction, because it is a maze. And if you don't understand that it's a maze, you won't understand how you got addicted through no fault of your own, by the way, and you won't know how to stay unaddicted, because addiction will just keep jumping from one corridor to the next in the maze, and you will never actually be healed. And you can heal from this. You do not have to remain addicted. If you are suffering with some kind of, let's just call it bad habit, I want you to know you're not alone. There's about 150 million people that we know of in the U.S. alone, 15 million people that are alcohol abusers, 9.49 million opiate abusers, 10 million with gambling addictions, 45 million addicted to nicotine, 70 million addicted to food, 9 million engaged in sex addiction, 18 million shopping addicts, 35 million with an illegal drug use addiction, 200,000 pornography addicts. These are probably very conservative numbers because it keeps going up all the time. This really has a very profound effect on all of us. It's easy to say, you know, it's easy to look out into the world and think things are normal, because it's become normal to have some type of addiction or bad habit. And what has happened is that people have been conditioned to take a pill for everything. They have been conditioned to get relief from stress rather than look at what's causing the stress and do something about it. Same thing with mental health and treating addiction now. The norm is to treat addiction with addiction. We'll get you off of this addiction by giving you these pills that you need to take. Sometimes they're highly addictive in themselves. You're supposed to get weaned off of them, but you may or may not ever be weaned off of them. It's really a crisis, and if you become addicted to something, I want you to understand it's not your fault. This is something that's really, really important to understand, and especially for parents out there who are raising children. Things are made to create addiction. For example, we know from the opiate crisis that people who got addicted to opiates and tried to get off of them went through pure hell. There are many medications that are so addictive when you try to get off of them, you cannot do that without really good help. And I work with people all the time who are trying to come off of benzodiazepines or opiates. And they go through a very difficult process before they come to see me. Often they've been to see many, many psychiatrists, doctors, in and out of treatment, and they have often given up. But it wasn't their fault that they got addicted. The doctor said, you've got to take this after your surgery or you may not get better. And then when I tried to get off of the opiate, they couldn't. The withdrawal was so severe. And they had to stay on it. So this is happening with a lot of psychopharmacological drugs as well. And that's just one instance. Let's take cigarettes. When they first made them, they not only had high doses of nicotine, but they also put other chemicals in the cigarettes that made them even more addictive. Alcohol has a very high content of alcohol. It doesn't need to have that much. You know, when I ask people, why do you drink, or why are you saying you can only have four drinks a night and you're so proud of yourself that you can control it, and a lot of people will say, because I like the way it tastes. But if you really drill down on that and really go into some serious questioning, what do you mean you like the way it tastes? You know, we think we like the way it tastes because what we're in love with is the ritual of the whole experience and the ads that have been branded into our brains. Now, advertising, when it's effective, knows how to bypass our critical thinking and lodge itself into our unconscious, where we actually believe that drinking and smoking or whatever we're doing is, you know, enjoyable. And actually, what's happening is what's enjoyable is the effect of the substance that we're putting in our brain, because it's getting us high. And once we develop that habit of getting high, we rapidly become addicted, not to mention things that cause physiological withdrawal when we try to taper off or stop altogether. So if you have a problem with substances, by the way, you don't just stop taking them. You make sure that you go to an addiction specialist who can help you medically detox, because we don't want anybody just detoxing themselves. That's very dangerous, and people do die because their brain will go into withdrawal and seizures, and not always, but could happen, and you don't want to take that chance. So, again, you know, this is something I talk about every single show. Don't feel guilty if you've become addicted to something. It's not your fault. However, what you do about it is on you. So if you want to reclaim your life, if you're sick of being slave to a little paper with tobacco in it, or you're sick of, you know, trying to lose weight and you can't and because you've become addicted to food or sugar, which is highly addictive. One scientist said it's the same effect on the brain as crack cocaine. If you find you can't get off of a porn site, whatever the case may be, these people who are marketing these things know how the brain works, and so they have developed techniques to get you addicted through advertising and through the effect that these certain addictions produce. So it's not your fault, but there's plenty of help out there, and there's good help and bad help, and we want you to get the right kind of help. So please... by the way, if you have any questions, we'd love you to call in. I'll give you that number in just a moment. we always like to hear from our audience. It's really important. And that number, if you'd like to call in, is 310-371-5444. Addiction in the workplace is really a problem, and it costs millions and millions of dollars a year to the industry. But even more important, it's really sad what people go through once it all kind of unwinds. We're going to talk today to Dwight Culver-Smith, who's an attorney who helps people he's an ethics attorney, so but tonight he's just going to talk about people who have ethics problems and the correlation between that and addiction. But I've worked with people, many attorneys over the years, and often they will come in because they've either gotten fired for drinking while at work. I worked with an attorney who got caught using porn at work. There's been attorneys who have had cocaine problems, you name it. Sometimes it's sex and love addiction. They wind up having affairs with clients or having affairs with people in the office. There's affairs and then there's addictive types of affairs, so we do need to kind of talk about the difference between those two things a little bit. But the kind of things that cause workplace problems, and tonight we're just going to talk about in the law and how addiction and lawyers and how it affects the judgment, sometimes even judges, by the way. It's not just attorneys. And of course, all judges have been attorneys. We have situations where people actually overdose at work. Lost productivity due to prescription drug use in the United States and the workplace, $53.4 billion a year. People calling in sick, in terms of legally, people not showing up for hearings or forgetting to have appointments with clients, or suddenly you paid an attorney a big retainer fee and then you never hear from him again. I mean, there's just so many things that can happen in the legal field and that are addiction related, and we're going to talk about these things tonight, and we're going to be able to, for those of you that not only are lawyers, but if you have a lawyer, you know, maybe some things to look out for if you're concerned, or maybe some things to be observant of when you're working with an attorney. So I believe that our guest is going to join us now. His name is Dwight Culver-Smith. As I said earlier, he is my husband, so I want everybody to know that. He specializes in ethics. And welcome to the show, Skip.
Thank you very much, Donna.
Okay. Please talk directly into the phone so we can all hear you. It's really hard when you're on the air to get a clear clear voice coming through. So I was telling the audience that you have been an ethics attorney for quite some time, and I know that you have helped attorneys who have had addictions problems. Their license has been compromised or they've been reported to the Bar Association. How serious of an issue do you think this is in our country?
Well, I think it's a quite serious issue in the country.
And I can't hear you.
Can't hear me? Okay, hold on. Is this better?
Much.
Okay. I think it's quite a serious issue in our country and very much in my profession.
I can't hear you.
How's this?
Better.
Okay. Part of the problem is my voice. I'm hoarse. I think it's quite a serious problem in the country, and it's certainly a serious problem in my profession. a 2016 study done by the ABA and the Hazleton Betty Ford Foundation.
A survey. The ABA is the American Bar Association?
Yeah, the American Bar Association.
Okay.
Jointly with the Hazleton Betty Ford Foundation. did a survey of lawyers. About 13,000 lawyers responded. These were lawyers who still are licensed and employed. And a little over 20% reflected they had a drinking problem. Maybe even addiction. Maybe up to a third had a drinking problem. And in
they
my
admitted
experience,
that they
I
had a drinking problem.
Pardon?
They admitted that they had a drinking problem.
Well, they answered questions in a way that revealed that they did.
Do you have an example of those questions?
There were questions like, did any binge drinking in the last 2 weeks? How many times? Just questions of that kind, not really asking them whether they thought they were addicted.
Okay. like, do you drink in the morning, or have you done binge drinking, or have you had the DUI, that kind of stuff?
Right.
So they may not recognize that they have a drinking problem, but when they answer those questions truthfully, like, those are pretty serious.
Right.
You know, those are pretty serious symptoms.
And there's other studies that show in the last 5 years that a little over half of malpractice cases, lawyer malpractice cases, and ethics discipline complaints like I handle involve underlying substance abuse issues. So, and I've seen that quite a bit.
That's interesting. You know, I actually had one of my close friends had an attorney, and she had no idea what was going on other than, you know, she'd have an appointment with him. She would go to his office. He wouldn't show up. He wasn't there. His law associate said, you know, oh, he'll be back. You know, he had a sick mom, then he had a sick dad, then he was at the hospital, then this, then that. There was all these stories, and finally he just completely disappeared. No one ever knew where he went other than that he had a serious cocaine problem, and he just kind of dropped off the face of the earth.
Right. I mean, those are the signs, and they may be subtle to start with. It may be more subtle than not just showing up. It may be frequently rescheduling things, canceling appointments.
I'm frequently rescheduling, like I have an appointment, and for the fourth time in a row, he just needs to change it.
Right. That sort of thing.
Or she needs to change it.
Right. And no appointments in early morning. No morning appointments. Because he's recovering, he or she's recovering from the night before, and or anxious to leave in the late afternoon because they want to get
to a bar. That clock strikes five and they're gone.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And I have some personal experience with that.
You're welcome to share. We are on the air live.
Well, and during my drinking heyday, I was always looking to get out the door by 5 o'clock to go get a drink. Mm-hmm. And another sign would be try to drum up some excuse to have a business lunch so you could drink at lunch. And of course, if you see somebody who's disheveled or ungroomed, that could be a sign of alcohol problems.
When you say disheveled and ungroomed, what do you mean?
Well, I'm not trying to be a fashion expert here, but if things just aren't put together well, the shirt tail's hanging out under a coat. Of course, now that seems to be a style, but it's just sort of all around sloppiness. And of course, if there's slurred speech, that's a giveaway.
The what?
If there's slurred speech, that's a giveaway.
Slurring?
Yes, slurring.
Uh-huh. Okay. I remember one time I had a friend, and I hadn't seen him for about 20 years, and I heard he was drinking really heavily. And when I ran into him, his shirt looked like he had never replaced it. It was so frayed along the borders, and just his, there was just something really, like, concerning about, you know, his shirt was ironed and all, but just his whole, his shoes were all scuffed, like he hadn't bought a new pair of shoes, and he wound up dying of alcoholism, but that kind of thing, it may not be so obvious, it could be something more subtle like that.
Right, because an alcoholic is going to decide they need a drink more than he needs to shine his shoes.
Right. Or buy new clothes.
Or buy new clothes, right.
Mm-hmm.
Or care about what matches.
Right. So things that matter kind of fade into the background.
Part of the problem of lawyers in the law firm, the people in the law firm will try to ignore it, or they'll try to cover for them.
Right.
Like you mentioned earlier.
We're going to take a break in a minute, but I think that's really important because, you know, we think that law firms, you know, would want to address this when someone has a problem. But often they become part of the problem, and it's called enabling. So when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about how law firms can enable a person to stay sick and why that isn't a good idea and what they can do about it and what they can do about it ethically and morally and psychologically as well. So thank you. We will come back in a few moments. You're listening to Dr. Donna Marks, Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. Please feel free to visit my website at www.drdonnamarks.com, and we will be right back. Thank you.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern, change that mindset with just a three-step process? Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Marks' book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did.
Flip your switch to the healing moment and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments, of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is Dr. Donna Marks, and you are listening to Exit the Maze. And tonight's guest is Dwight Smith. He's an ethics attorney, and he helps people who want to either get licensed or get reinstated or who are in trouble. And most of the time when they're in trouble, or frequently when they're in trouble, I should say, they have some type of addiction going on. And right before the break, we were talking about attorneys who've taken surveys and that there was a very high percentage of people who, when they answered the questionnaires, would be categorized as having substance abuse disorders. And then we were talking also about how law firms often enable people, some of the attorneys. They try to cover up. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Right. I mean, essentially, a law firm has essentially three choices in such a situation. They can ignore it, or they can fire the person, or they can do something about it. If they ignore it, the outcome will always be ugly, and they tend to cover up, like you were saying earlier, Donna, that a friend of yours was having a problem with a lawyer, and the staff was saying he'll be back, or he's been called away, or something like that, when they don't really even know. Or they say, I'm sure you'll return your call tomorrow, or something like that. Or they just bury their head in the sand because they're afraid of repercussions to the reputation of the firm or loss of client business. They just try to cover it up. And of course, the outcome of that will always be ugly. There'll be inevitable bar ethics complaints to the bar or malpractice claims. Or, you know, or worse, like with any drunk. And the lawyer
was kind of worse?
Well, I mean, just driving drunk, missing a deadline, and somebody loses an important claim to the statute of limitations, or just failing to do something that causes somebody's rights to be dismissed.
What's the most common mistake that an impaired, and by impaired I mean an attorney with an addiction.
The typical one that doesn't always result in a disaster for the client is just ignoring the client, in essence. neglecting the case because the lawyer's too hungover or just too interested in the next drink.
What's the most common type of error, though, that they make? The consequence.
They're not paying attention to deadlines. So if you have a deadline to file a lawsuit, every lawsuit has a deadline for filing it. And if they miss the deadline, that their client loses those rights once and for all, which could be substantial. If it's somebody doing an estate plan and they're really foggy-minded, they may make a mistake that costs the estate a lot of money in taxes or costs the beneficiary to lose something that the beneficiary was intended to receive.
It's not a good idea for law firms to cover up or protect an attorney. So ignoring it's not a good idea, or covering up is not a good idea. And probably the best thing is to do something about it, right?
Right. I mean, often law firms will say, if it really gets to be a problem, they'll say, we got to get rid of him or her. Because, you know, maybe he or she has a drinking problem, but we're not a rehab facility. We're a law firm. Let's get rid of them. But that, of course, is heartless for the individual. But it also doesn't really save the law firm from trouble, because a law firm is not warning the clients that follow that alcoholic lawyer.
And you know, I see this a lot. I work with a lot of my office is in Palm Beach, so I work with a lot of C-suite and highly paid people, executives, and when they fire someone, they'll say go get help, and then they'll fire them sometimes even after they get help, just because they're afraid, and that is a bad move. And I think I'm interested in your thoughts. But I think one of these days that's going to be cause for a lawsuit against the law firm. You fired me with a disability. You didn't give me a chance to do anything about it. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. He had insurance who could have covered some of the treatment.
Most insurance policies will cover most of the treatment. But people don't even need to go to treatment to get sober. They can go to, 12-step programs or smart recovery. There's all kinds of help available that is free.
Right.
If someone's got a substance abuse disorder, they definitely need to be detoxed, but that can be done in a week or so.
Right. Sometimes so the right thing to do, obviously, is for a firm and management just to say, this person's got a problem. It may be a person that's actually well-respected in the legal community, despite the drinking problem.
Mostly.
And it may be a person that produces a lot of business, so they don't want to fire them.
Right. Where you went to college and how much money you make has got nothing to do with whether or not you're a candidate for addiction.
Right. So the firm just needs to be, and Donna, you know a lot of this better than I because of your practice, but the firm just needs to be supportive and not judgmental. It needs to say, look, we're not judging you here. We're here to support you, but we got to, but there's certain things you have to do.
Well, there's a way to address it, and you have to organize that effort. You don't just have one attorney who doesn't know what they're doing sit down with another attorney and say, hey, buddy, you know,
right.
help or else. I mean, there's a procedure to go through. Are you familiar with that procedure? I'm sure you are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's interventionists, of course.
Right.
Can be hired, and there's also most state bar associations have lawyer assistance programs, which are like patterned after employee assistance programs. They can go to without ramifications for their license.
Yes. So someone could actually report the attorney to that branch of the association, which, of course, we're talking about Florida. I don't know if it's the same in all states or if all states have it for, you know, impaired.
Yeah, I believe all state bar associations do have something like it.
Okay, good. So that's a little added leverage, because when the bar is involved in your license, you're more likely to toe the line. But it isn't always necessary, because some people go to get help and they never
complain against you. You're probably going to have to do it, and it's a way to save your license actually. So it's smart to do it. But
but there are plenty of attorneys who haven't gotten that route.
But you can sign up voluntarily too, and law firm management could urge the person to sign up voluntarily for the assistance program and start going to meetings and be monitored and that sort of thing.
Right. So the first step would be for the people, the powers that be in the firm, to recognize that, you know, they're smelling alcohol, or the person's acting loopy, or their judgment isn't quite right, they're disheveled. What are some other signs? Other than not showing up for work, having all kinds of excuses, can you think of any other signs?
Well, I think the big one, usually the most frequent one, is neglect of the cases.
Okay.
Clients.
Okay. So you have a bright and promising attorney, male or female. It's interesting, during the break you were saying on that questionnaire, almost half the attorneys were women who are suffering from this also. But anyhow, you have these signs and symptoms. The powers that be in the firm decide to do something about it, so they can either hire an interventionist who specializes in how to do this, or they can handle it on their own, but it's probably better to know, you know, how to approach it in a way that's the most effective without, like you said, being punitive. I know when I do interventions, you know, we talk about the facts. What are the facts that we can present, and you know, how do we want to approach this, and what are the alternatives, and what are their choices, and what are their expectations, and what are the measurable results that you want to see? So we can talk a little bit more about that when we come back. And also, I want you to talk about other addictions in the legal community, because it isn't just alcohol and drugs. There's gambling, there's sex addiction, there's love addiction. So these are just as prevalent, in my experience, the people I've worked with. And so I want to cover some of that, too. But when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about an intervention, and then we'll segue into that. So we're going to take a break now, and then we'll be back shortly.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again, and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern, change that mindset with just a 3-step process? Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Mark's book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments, of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
Flip your switch to the healing moment and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. Then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Remember, positive impact. www.healthylife.net.
Hi, this is Dr. Donna Marks, author of Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. And if you're listening to our program, we have been talking about addiction and attorneys and how that affects them, how it affects the firm, but even more important, how it affects their clients. And before the break, we were discussing interventions and what a law firm can do if they recognize that an attorney is impaired. And often what happens, as Mr. Smith was telling us, that they just fire the person, and that's really unfortunate. Can you talk a little bit more about that and why that's unfortunate, why that's not in the best interest of the client, the individual, or the firm?
Well, you know, that's trying to push the problem out the door, but the problem doesn't really go away, certainly not for the individual, and not for any clients who are going to go follow the individual. And it really doesn't necessarily solve the problem for a law firm, because this is come back to haunt the law firm. You know, if they intervene, if the law firm intervenes, they can try to solve the problem and help not only clients and preserve the firm's reputation, but do the right thing for the individual, for the individual's career, and family, if he still has one, and life. But, you know, law firms invest a lot of time and money and training in new lawyers, and
right,
and you know, they have a really investment that's worth saving, and they tend to forget that sometimes. And the lawyer, unless it's been a total disaster from the beginning, has certainly built a certain amount of goodwill in the community, legal community, in the community at large, and among clients. That's worth saving. It's worth for the law firm to save. So even selfishly, thinking selfishly, the law firm should try to help remedy the situation.
Right, right. But isn't it hard to for someone to believe that this is an addiction? You know, how could you have a problem? You have a graduate degree, a Juris Doctorate degree. You went to the best schools. You work for a great firm. You're from a good family. You know, that's just not addictive, you know, kind of person. I mean, how can that be? Can you go into that a little bit? Why that kind of thinking is a problem?
Right. Well, that's a lack of understanding, of course, of the disease. And,
the disease?
Or unwillingness.
What do you mean, the disease?
Unwillingness to accept the possibility that there is addiction. I mean, that, you know, they might say, look, it's just a matter of willpower, you know, or it put it on some kind of moral ground. And we know that that's not what addiction is. So if the people are looking at it as some kind of character failing, you know, it's not going to be helpful. And all the while, if they do confront the person, you know, the person's immediately going to go into denial. And the person is probably functioning reasonably adequately. It's just been some sporadic problems with canceling appointments and rescheduling court hearings and not
early on the middle phase of the problem, though, not late phase. It's late phase addiction.
Right.
Person's got DTs in the morning. They, you know, aren't able to keep it together at all. They're making
right.
a lot of mistakes. But unless
they don't come in the morning at all.
Right. But as early and middle phases, it could be more subtle, like you're describing.
That's right.
3-hour lunch, maybe, occasionally, and that kind of thing. Hit the door
right.
at 5 o'clock. Yeah.
Well, for lawyers, even 2-hour lunch, if it's not mm-hmm. with a client, is suspicious.
Right.
So,
of course. Oh, drinking at lunch is suspicious, quite frankly, if in the middle of a work day.
Right. But, you know, what's the harm of a glass of wine at lunch, except it turns out to be 3 glasses of wine?
Yeah. Well, isn't that the key here, is that you think you're going to have a glass or a drink, and then how did I do 3 or 4, and why did I do that? And that question keeps repeating itself every time you drink.
Right.
Why did I say that? Why did I do that? And why did I have more than I thought I was going to have?
Well, that's an alcoholic that's beginning to understand that he's got a problem. I mean, but if the alcoholic is still denying the problem, he's not asking himself that question.
Right.
You know, it just seems to be, you know, part of the socialization.
Right. So,
and of course, it's part of the culture of our society anyway, but it's certainly
uh-huh.
so in the legal profession. If
drinking is part of the legal culture?
Cocktail receptions and local bar associations have cocktail receptions, and everybody's, you know, relieving the stress of the work week or whatever.
I think that's a big key right there. It's a high-powered job with a lot of stress, a lot of deadlines, a lot of pressure, a lot of accountability, a lot of demands, billable hours. You have to put in a lot of research time, tedious, difficult
right.
clients, pressure,
a lot of
pressure,
a lot
pressure.
Of expectations placed on you by partners, employers, clients, family members, not necessarily unreasonable expectations, but a lot of expectations.
Mm-hmm. So there's a pressure cooker going on all the time. So unlike someone who might, work, in a more calm environment, there's that relief that a substance will give that would be more powerful of a relief than someone who's got a normal stress type job.
Right. And lawyers tend to be A personalities, and they like socializing with one another, and it all kind of leads into it. I like to say you don't have to be a lawyer to be an alcoholic, but it helps.
Yep.
And lawyers come in with a much higher percentage in these surveys of alcoholic problems than other professions.
A high percentage of what?
A higher percentage of alcoholism than other professions.
Oh, interesting.
These studies show.
Mm-hmm.
The last one I saw had physicians coming in at about 15%.
Yeah, well, so physicians can... physicians have very high substance abuse prescription medication, and they can keep that under control a lot easier than an alcoholic or alcohol. So, you know, that where you can smell it, you can, you know, the progression, you can function normal on a lot of mood altering substances, opiates,
right.
Even benzodiazepines. You can function pretty normal on pretty high doses of that stuff because your tolerance. It's easier to fake it, not normal, for a longer period of time. So So the firm would get together with the person, with or without an interventionist, and what would be the kindest way to approach the problem?
Well, I think it would be, I mean, if I had some role in it, with my background, I would say, look, you're not going to like what we're having to say here, but we're saying this for you. You obviously have an issue with alcohol or substance abuse. This doesn't mean you're a bad person. We value you here. We want to keep you here. We want to make things better for you and for the firm. But there's some things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get help. And take that kind of approach.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
I'm not
present
a professional
them with the facts of how
you're
they, they're,
on
they're,
it, but that strikes me as how, to answer your question, how I would approach it as a partner in a law firm in a position
right.
to do it.
Right. But they need to be presented with the facts of their behavior, too. You can't
right,
say,
right.
you know, we think you have a problem. Here's what we see that we're concerned about. Okay, well, when
important.
We come back, I want to talk about other addictions that lawyers commonly face, and we'll go ahead and get into that a little bit because there's really no difference in the consequences. It's pretty much the same. And you're listening to Dr. Donna Marks, Exit the Maze. Please visit my website at www.drdonnamarks.com, and we shall return very shortly.
Flip your switch to the healing moment and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments, of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern, change that mindset with just a three-step process? Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Marks' book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Exit the Maze. I'm Dr. Donna Marks, and we are here to help people who are struggling with addiction. You may not have the addiction directly. It might be somebody you know. It could be a family member, a loved one, a parent, a child. Very common. Almost all families in our country are affected either by a worker or a loved one. And tonight we are talking about addiction and among lawyers. And our guest is Dwight Smith. He is an ethics attorney in West Palm Beach, Florida. Dwight, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that? Do you have a website?
Yes, I have a website. It's culversmithlaw.com, www.culversmithlaw.com. And I can be reached by phone at 561-301-3800.
Great. So if a law firm or needed some guidance on how to address this with an attorney in their firm, or maybe it's not even an attorney, maybe it's just an employee. It could be an administrator or a legal secretary or a paralegal.
That's true.
They could contact you. And if someone's in trouble, you know, and they know the world is closing in around them and they want out and they want to get some help before something really bad happens, they could also seek advice from you.
I'd be happy to hear from people.
Okay, good. So what I know from working with so many attorneys over the years, also I was a legal secretary and I did my fair share of drinking in those watering holes with other attorneys and stuff, but I know that there's a lot, aside from alcoholism, we've got a high cocaine problem. We've got benzodiazepine problem. We've got pornography addiction. We've got sex and love addiction. An attorney is having sex with multiple clients or multiple people in the office or is in an addictive sexual relationship with a particular employee, and they're doing all the same stuff as an alcoholic. They're sneaking around. They're having sex instead of putting in billable hours. They're lying, they're cheating, they're stealing indirectly from the firm. So what are some of the things that you've come across over the years, and what would be the consequences to the firm of these types of things?
Yeah, I think the sexual dallying within the office is a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think people sometimes think they're invisible, you know, or bulletproof, and these things don't go unnoticed, but you know, if you're going out to lunch 4 times a week with your paralegal, you know, that's just not typical. or everywhere you go, your paralegal goes with you. There are times when that's appropriate, but if it's routine, you know, you have to start wondering.
When you say what do you mean, like on business trips?
Yeah, on business trips.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, if you find some excuse to have someone who works for you of the opposite sex or the same sex, depending on your leanings, go with you. The problem, I mean, wholly aside from the morality of it, I mean, and the lack of spirituality involved and the personal problems you're going to have, the firm can get in trouble, because if that relationship goes sour, you have somebody in a position of power who's having sex with someone that's subordinate, and that can lead to ugly lawsuits.
Right. So let's say that you have a female attorney, and she has a paralegal who's assigned to her, who's male, or same sex or whatever. They have an affair. It becomes all-encompassing. And then let's say she's married and the spouse catches on and, you know, this has to stop. So the spouse can cause problems in the firm, but mostly that person who, as you said, is insubordinate, or, you know, they can say that, you know, I was influenced, that this was my boss, I didn't really know how to say no. All kinds of things could happen, even though it could have been 100% consensual, hot sex and everything else. They could threaten to sue. They could sue, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that person, if the subordinate is actually working directly for that person, that person in the superior position affects that subordinate's fitness reports, salary, raises, everything. And so even if it's, quote, consensual, end quote, you have to ask, is it really? I mean, there may be a there may be a genuine attraction. I'm not denying
that. Of course.
Because the fact is, when people are in an office setting doing something they really love, they are at their best. They shine.
Right.
They
take a shower. They put on their best clothes. They put their best foot forward.
Right.
They're all turned on to life. Sure.
Right. And there has to be some sort of subtle influence there that's almost undeniable, I think.
We call that transference, where you just kind of idolize this greater being than you kind of thing.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so being impressed
pretty
on,
tough,
on steroids,
pretty tough,
so to speak. And they're not on a level playing field.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that can cost the clients money, too, because it's the same type of, you know, mistakes. If the firm is billing for the paralegal to go on the trip, paying for the meals, flights, and the
necessary. And, of course, you know, the lawyer may say, well, I've never stolen anything from this law firm. Well, there's different ways of looking at stealing.
Okay.
If you're sneaking away for 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon for a rendezvous, you're not producing
right.
during those 2 or 3 hours.
Right.
You're not producing revenue for the firm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And porn at work is a real serious issue, too. I've worked with a couple of attorneys who got caught. One of them accidentally sent a porn site to another attorney in the office with some not-so-nice comments, and it was a male sending it to a female. The female attorney was his superior, and he was instantly fired. He'd been at the firm for a long, long time. They did not treat it they did not do an intervention, unfortunately. It would have been so much better for everybody had they treated it like any other addiction. But it's real common problem, too. You know, that again, it's the same story as, you know, the pressure's on, close the door, turn on the porn site, get relief, get a little high, and then you can work better. That's the thinking, that's the pattern. It's not true, but that's the thinking and the pattern.
Right.
So can you think of any other types of addictions that might
well,
be...
Well, sometimes I'm worried I'm addicted to Sudoku puzzles, but...
but you work for yourself.
But I don't do it at the office.
And even
course,
if you did, you're not billing a client for that time. Well, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I think that you've given lawyers and firms a lot to think about. I know that you are known all over the country. You're very involved in different ethics organizations throughout the country, and we even spoke on a panel together about this subject. But I really appreciate you being on the show tonight, and I'm sure your comments and insights have helped some people. And again, they can visit your website at www.DwightCulverSmith3rd in Palm Beach County, Florida. And thank you again for being on the show. This is going to conclude
pleasure.
Our show tonight. This is Dr. Donna Marks, Ex of the Maze, and I'd love to hear from you. If you want to drop me a note on my website, www.drdonnamarks.com, and we'll look forward to joining you again next month. Have a happy, happy holiday, and we wish you all the best.